Hey guys, my name's Justin, and welcome to Inverse. We in the studio, we have Jonathan and Siku and
Israel.
And we have you guys, and we want to say thank you for all your support out there. We've been getting your messages and your comments on social media and through email, and some through written letters. And we just say thank you for your support all around the world. There are, if you didn't know already, there are different Inverse programs all around the world in different languages and different cultures, and it's been amazing to see your support. It's more amazing to see young adults and some of you who are not so young studying the Word of God and getting deeper into Scripture and being deeper in the verse. That's really what really drives our passion. Today, we're going to look at Revelation chapter 12 under the rubric of this great conflict between good and evil. We call this the great controversy. We call this the spiritual war in heaven that came down to earth. And we're going to get some more insights in from Revelation 12. So Siku, if you can pray for us, and we'll do what we do every episode.
Loving Father, we thank you that we can come to your word once more. We thank you for the revelation that we see of you in your word. And we pray that as we study now, we would come to see a clearer picture of you, and we can commit our lives to you wholeheartedly. Mm. Guide our understanding now through the Holy Spirit. We pray these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Israel, let's go to Revelation 12. Revelation 12. And there's just a lot here for us to juice out, yeah? But we'll start with verse 10 and go to verse 10, 11, 12. We'll start there.
It says, "Then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of the brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to death. Therefore, rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and to the sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath, because he knows that he has a short time."
Hmm. All right. So we are studying, like I said, this concept of the cosmic war. If you have no idea what I'm talking about, I just want to reference you to our Bible study guide that you can go to inversebible.org, and you can download the Bible study guides and see where we're at. We are currently in lesson 10, episode 10, entitled Keepers of the Flame. Now, my question goes to Jonathan. We've been looking at, you know, Satan, God, angels, prayer, Word of God, faith. What else have we looked at?
Love.
Love. Oh, we looked at free choice. Love is always in there.
You talked about love in the last episode.
That's true.
Yeah. Love and faith. You did, yes. Go check it out.
So we looked at all these things, and now we're coming to Revelation 12 about, like, you know, God's people being persecuted. Mm-hmm. What does that have to do with this controversy?
Yeah, I mean, that's a really good question. This warfare that started in heaven came to earth because, you know, Satan was cast out, but then humanity accepted, received him. Mm-hmm. And so in engaging that, and, you know, sin and all these things taking place, God said, well, I want to give them a second chance. And mm-hmm. so in his work of salvation, God chose to also work with people who choose his side. Mm-hmm. And so he's not just using the angels or the Holy Spirit, he's also using people who have cast their lot with him to proclaim the good news that God is good, and that the lies about Satan are lies.
Can't we just, and I'm being facetious here, but it always makes good conversation. Uh-huh. Can't we just say, hey, this is an alien war. This is really nothing to. I just prefer to remain neutral in this. Mm. Is that possible?
It's not possible.
Why?
Because there are only two sides, right and wrong, and you are by nature on the wrong side.
Mm. I mean, also the fact that we were talking about.
We are by nature.
We are.
Yes. We're talking about in the.
I am of the heavenly nature, the angelic nature. Yeah.
Not how I meant it, but yes.
Yeah. No, we get you.
No, in the previous episode, we're talking about the nature of reality itself.
Yes.
And what is at stake here is the nature of reality.
Yeah.
And so there's no picking a side of, I don't want to be part of reality. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can choose that, but you're choosing death, right? Mm-hmm. So, which goes back to the point of there are only two sides. Mm-hmm. So what's at stake here is what reality is. Like, what is truth? You know, mm-hmm. what makes up the fabric of our very existence? Mm-hmm. is God true or not? And if God is true, he defines all of what reality is. If he's not, then there has to be a different definition of reality. So seeing as we're alive, we can't opt out of which way we choose to
And the other thing that engage. The other thing that, as I've been processing, because when I came, I was like, wait, what in the world does this have to do with the grand theme of the war in heaven and great controversy?
Yeah.
Even though it's right here in the text. Very, very clear.
I was wondering, Israel.
You're like, yeah. And so I think one reason why you cannot be neutral is because there's literally a war that has been someone has declared war on you.
Yeah.
And if someone has not declared war on you, then you are on the side that has declared war. You know, and so it's kind of like the image that kind of came to my mind was, there was a point when sorry to my brother, but I was studying the Bible and I came across that passage where it says, you know, Jesus says, like, if someone hits you, turn the other cheek. And as I was reading, my brother came in to my room and he was bothering me. And in, like, my holy wrath, I said, it's all right, you know, because you're, like, of the devil. And the Bible says I need to turn the other cheek. So then he slapped me, you know, and he's like, turn the other cheek now. And I said, okay. And I turned the other cheek. And then he slapped me again, right? He's like, now turn the other cheek. And I said, okay. And I kept on doing, I did this like 3 or 4 times until finally, like, I lost full control of myself. And I just started trying to hit him, right? And it dawned on me, you know, like, if someone is hitting you or if someone conducts war against you, there's no such thing as neutrality. Yeah. You are either going to get beaten up or you're going to fight back to defend yourself.
Right.
And here, I'm glad that our author put this passage in here for us to study, because it talks about the fact that Satan has declared war on God's people. Yeah. So if you are God's people, you are at war. If you're not God's people, then you're part of the side that has declared war.
Mm. So you're using God's word incorrectly.
I was using it correctly until I lost control, you know.
So you, if God had full, anyway, let's keep going analyzing that situation.
Yeah.
Okay, so where do we go here? Let's actually read in full context of what's happened in chapter 12. I think chapter 12 really encapsulates the entire theme anyway. And we'll just take it slowly and we'll just kind of go along like how we do. Okay, so chapter 12, Revelation, verse 1. Now a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars. And being with child, she cried out in labor and in pain to give birth. Another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great fiery red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, 7 diadems on his heads. His tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. The dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth and devour her child as soon as it was born. She bore a male child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. Her child was caught up to God in his throne, and the woman fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared by God that should feed her there 1,260 days. Okay, this may seem like a long introduction, but some of that introduction is necessary. Let's parse some of the things out. Let's just get to the obvious stuff. We get it out there. We can get into deeper, more stuff later. What's this passage? Obviously, we're not dealing with literal women and dragon and whatnot, tail and stars, but there's context here.
Yeah.
And what is that?
I mean, we see here, this is, Revelation is full of symbols and so on, and we don't have time to go into all the Bible verses that explain everything here, but essentially what is being told here is the story of the woman clothed with the sun and the moon and under her feet is representing God's people, God's church.
A woman in Bible prophecy is always referencing a church.
Yes, we see
that in Israel. We said all throughout the Old Testament. We see prophets who were told to marry prostitutes to symbolize
God's relationship
unfaithfulness of God's people.
Yeah.
We see a woman here, and she's clothed in purity.
Yes, and then we see this great fiery red dragon, which later on is being called the devil and Satan.
Verse 9. Yeah.
Yes, that's right. And the tail, the stars of the heaven, the stars represent angels. A third of the angels he took with him in this rebellion that started this great controversy. And then this we're talking about,
which means there's actually 2/3 left of angels in heaven.
Yes.
So there's a 2-for-1 ratio from angel to demon.
Which is a good thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, for us.
Yeah, so for every demon there's always 2 angels. I always, you know, in the 80s we always watch those demon, not always, but if you ever had a childhood where you're watching those ghost stories and you're like, oh man, the demons are after you. Well, there's two times as good on your side. Again, I know that always was a point of of comfort.
comfort, yeah. As you're reading the stories.
I mean, it's true. And then God says, like, and Jesus said, like, the little, I don't know the passage, but the little ones and their angels, you know, you have the guardian angels that follow you around, and you have your guardian angel probably, and maybe even two, because there's
two
enough
to
angels
one.
To the two for one region. Yeah. Anyway, I don't know. That's don't take that to the bank.
But that's, there is that it's number. Talking about the angels here. Yeah.
Yes. No one's taking it to the bank.
Okay.
And then it's mentioning this child, which is Jesus, who was born into this world.
Yeah.
And if it's just being described as being persecuted, you know, ready to devour this child, destroy this child. You look at the story of Jesus. You know. The persecution that took place towards him, even when he was born, Herod, said all the babies have to be killed in Bethlehem, and they had to flee. Mm-hmm. And so that's
verse
kind of
five. There's like messianic language there about ruling the nations with a rod.
Essentially, you have the Old Testament summed up here in six verses.
Oh, cool.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But then we get a glimpse in chapter seven. In verse seven and ongoing.
Okay.
A glimpse of what took place.
In heaven,
uh-huh. with the war, started it all.
Okay, yeah. Let's start reading from verse 7. Siku, you want to read verse 7 for us?
Sure. And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought.
Okay, pause there. I think so. A lot of these things are coming together in this chapter. Yeah. So we talked about Michael, the archangel. I think that was that previous episode or
two episodes before.
Again, hey, go to hopetv.org/inverse and you can watch that episode about Michael and the archangel, and that not that Michael was an angel, but he was the archangel, leader of the angels, commander of the angels. Pointing to the Son of God, based on, was it 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and John chapter 5?
Yes.
Anyway, watch the episode. Yep. Okay, keep going. So you have Jesus and his angels, and you got Satan and his angels. Mm-hmm. Yep, keep going.
Verse 8, but they did not prevail, nor was any place found for them in heaven any longer. Mm. So the dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down.
Okay, so that's another nickname or another title for Satan, yeah? The accuser of the brethren, mm-hmm. Okay.
And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death.
Okay, we'll stop there. I know we already read this twice, but this is where the focus of the lesson is coming. And the emphasis. Why is this the verse so important?
Well, it describes the experience of those who walk with God. Mm. It is like often in modern day, maybe Western Christianity, you have this idea that if you follow Jesus, everything's going to be great. You know, like prosperity gospel, you're going to be wealthy, all the blessings of heaven. You know, you're going to have a good life. Mm. That's often being proclaimed from televangelists and popular preachers. Mm-hmm. But the Bible is very clear that if you cast your lot with the Lord, you're entering into the other side of the war, and you are, from a human perspective, in the minority. Okay? Mm. And so...
And you're targeted.
You're targeted. Mm. And Satan hates those who... basically, Satan is losing his own people. You know, like you were once on his side, and you're defecting over to God's side. So, of course, he has a special hatred for those who do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so persecution takes place in this great war. You know, we don't have necessarily visible demons that, hunt us, although there are visible manifestations of demons and so on. But primarily, this persecution takes place through people and circumstances that, are arranged by Satan and his workers.
Mm-hmm.
And so God's people have at different times in history been persecuted. And are still today, not everywhere, but it is taking place. And the Bible does even say that there will be a great persecution in the very end of those who are faithful in the very last days.
Mm-hmm.
And just a note here in verse 10. On that, you made a comment about it, this title for the devil, for the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our God. It brings my mind to the book of Job, that the devil goes before God and... Yeah, the controversies between God and the devil, that's the devil is railing accusations against God. Mm-hmm. But we come into the mix because God brings up Job in the context of this controversy. They're in the book of Job, but Job makes an accusation. the devil makes an accusation against Job that the only reason that he is obeying you, the only reason that he serves you is for selfish motives. It's not because you haven't blessed him, etc.
Right.
So there are accusations that are being thrown. The way that that we live our lives as followers of God reflects upon him, right? Mm-hmm. And so even though the attack is against God, to attack God, you attack those who are close to him, those who are claiming to be living like him, those who are claiming to be on his side. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of that's how we come into the mix, even here, like with the attacks against God's people. I heard one preacher speak of it this way, that, you know, if you really hate a parent and you want to make them suffer, you torture their child.
Yes.
Because that's how you really get to them. Because a parent would say, rather you take me, you hurt me, than hurt my child.
Yeah.
And the devil is doing that with God's people.
And in a way, I think that, I mean, this is an assumption, but I think that ever since the cross, we talked about the victory of the cross in the previous episode, but ever since the cross, the devil knows, everyone knows for sure the devil has lost. Mm. Like, this game is over.
Yeah.
Now we're just kind of in the aftermath of this war.
Yeah, it's very, verse 10, has been cast down,
yep.
Or cast out. It's on the past tense.
It's over.
It's done.
So now he's like the scorched earth policy, right? Mm. He's like, well, I'm going to take everything down with me. I'm going to leave as little as possible for you to, you know, spoil for you to take. And so he wants to hurt those who are closest to God. And he wants to just, I mean, it's like, remember, sin is insanity.
Yeah.
He wants to just destroy and cause as much pain and destruction and suffering as possible before he knows his own life is going to end.
Yeah. I used this illustration before. I'm going to use it again. Like, I was with a youth group, and then they brought me to Lake Michigan at the beach. And then because it was my first time there, they all picked me. Four dudes picked me up, one by one each arm, one each leg, and they were going to throw me into the water. And then there's all these other kids there. I was like, super embarrassed. I'm like struggling, and I knew I couldn't get out of this. So instead, I was like, man, I'm for sure done. But I'm not going to go down alone.
Oh,
so my dignity and my pride all were like went to my hand, and I just grabbed onto the closest arm that I could grab. And so they were swinging me, and as I swung, I just, with all my momentum, I was like, I'm not going to go down alone. And I make sure I grab this person, I put them into the water first, because I don't want to be the first person to get wet. And we were plunging in the water, we both came out. Yeah, everyone's laughing. But it was like, it was at a raw moment where I was like, man, you know, like, that's a lot of like dignity and pride. Where did that all come from? Just came out of nowhere.
Just to
save myself from the shame. Insanity, I would say. I became demonic, if I could say that.
Don't judge me.
In principle. But you see that here. He's going to take out as many people as he can. And he's persecuting. Let's transition. Let's go to verse 13.
Well, can I say something real quick in verse 10?
Yeah, for sure. Yep.
In the context of all this, because, you know, there's a lot of, we're focusing on the war that the devil is causing, the problems that he's causing. But something that to me really, really strikes me in verse 9 at the end, right when it says, you know, the devil has been cast down into earth, which is where we live, right? Immediately. we got to let that sink in, because the implications of that are significant, right? So right immediately after that sentence, that Satan has been cast onto the earth, the thing that immediately follows, the message that immediately follows, is found in verse 10. And I heard a loud voice saying, this is not a soft voice, it's a loud voice saying, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brethren who accuses them before God day and night has been cast down.
Mm.
I love the fact that as soon as the devil is cast down into the earth, immediately the thing that follows, the thought that follows is, and for this reason, with a loud voice, salvation has come.
Yeah.
And it's
that's such good news. Yeah. We've been focusing on all the,
the
negative part, but you're emphasizing the best part.
Yeah,
because
it shows the fact that even though the devil has been raging war, on earth, that Christ himself will reign on this earth, and that with his reign comes salvation. So I think that as we focus on the great controversy, even with intermixed with that horrible news, because later on it says, you know, woe to the earth, right? Because the devil's super angry. Within that context, you have in the middle of that sandwich this great news of the kingdom of God being established, and
Yeah,
and
no, I love that spotlight.
And then verse 11 follows. I mean, it's beautiful. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Mm-hmm. And they did not love their lives to the death. So, like, this salvation, it is real, it's tangible. People can experience it. And even though the devil is cast down, he has great wrath, they are overcoming him by the blood of the Lamb, by Jesus Christ and his righteousness.
And I love it. They didn't love their lives until that, because they knew, even if they died, the power is in Christ just to resurrect them again. So they're like, well, forget. I mean, it's game over. They won.
Yep.
And they're going all out.
Yep. It's powerful.
It's in the worst part that you see the best solution there.
Mm. Yeah.
Verse 13, let's talk about this persecution. So it's kind of the same scenario, but in three acts, kind of repeating. And you see the third repetition happening in verse 13. And I'll read verse 13. Now, when the dragon saw that he had been cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. But the woman was given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness to her place, where she is nourished for half a time from the presence of the serpent. So the serpent spewed water out of his mouth like a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood. But the earth helped the woman. And the earth opened its mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. The dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring, who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus. So what in the world is going on here?
Mm. Well, this is really cool, because this whole section here kind of describes the history of the last 2,000 years. Mm. What we see here is that, you know...
I love that. The first section was like the Old Testament. The second section is kind of like Jesus coming. Third section is like
New
after...
Testament. New Testament times, in a way, because which we are still living in.
Yep.
But we're here in symbolic language, prophetic language, is described that this persecution continues. Mm-hmm. It talks again about the woman. Mm-hmm. Okay, in verse 14, she was given two wings. She might fly into the wilderness, where she's nourished for times and half a time. So there's a certain time period that the church of God, the faithful ones, will have to flee into the wilderness. So this is, in other words, flee away from the masses of the people. They have to hide away. And you just look at church or at history.
Mm-hmm. 1,260 years, persecution was going on.
Yeah, exactly. For 1,300 years of persecution. And during that time, those who were faithful to the Bible, they had to hide away because of the reign of the papacy and the connection with the state and the powers of the world were against those who stood for what is true. Then you had the Irish-Scottish Christians, you have the Waldensians, and many others who were keeping alive. That's why we entitled it the Keepers of the Flame. They're keeping alive these gems of truth, the Bible. Mm-hmm. But they were in a minority. Mm-hmm. But God protected this, protected them. Many died, you know, they were persecuted for what they believed in, but he kept the truth alive through them. They did not love their lives, you know, they gave it up gladly. And but we see that here, and all the way down to the end times, God will have a remnant, a group of people who are keeping, you know, the truth. It says here it's worded in verse 17 as in the rest of their offspring, they keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus. These are the people who are holding on to the truth and are living it, and they're connected to Jesus.
So let me ask this question. How does Gen Mill or Zed or Alpha, how do they keep this flame alive in the midst of all the social media, in the midst of all the tablets and phones and streaming services, in the midst of TV going down, in the midst of, you know, veganism rising, or there isn't, I mean, in the modern culture, how do we keep the remnant, this persecuted offspring? What is some encouragement, counsel we can give to them in contextualized for today? Siku.
The first thing, maybe it talks about in verse 17 that they keep the commandments of God. I think the encouraging thing is what Israel was pointing out, that salvation has come. And so the resources that we need to be able to keep the commandments of God, the resources, it says salvation and strength, the strength that we need to be able to keep the commandments of God.
Yeah.
All that is necessary in order to do it has already been made available to us. And so tapping into the power that has been made available to us from God to be those who, and when he says remnant, is these people who are, it's those who are continuing to believe what is true about God, in the context of the Great Controversy. That's that's what it's about. It's about believing the truth about who God is, which he is trying to reveal to us in Scripture.
So my takeaway, what we're saying is we're not called to be perfect. We're called to be faithful till the end. Yeah, just not called to be something special, but just called to be faithful, consistent.
You know, as we were reading this and in answer to your question, the woman in, was you know, going to the wilderness. In a way, and then the devil is like, you know, all this water, all the people, all the distractions that are coming after. We experience this on an individual level. And I think young people today, especially with the massive explosion of, you know, content out there, it's a flood of things.
Yeah. A lot of false ideas, deceptions.
So that's where I would encourage, like, find your wilderness. Find a time, carve out that time, and spend the time with Jesus in the wilderness to be connected to the truth, to be faithful to the truth. Yeah,
for a time, times, and half time.
That's right. Yeah.
Okay. I think we can never underestimate the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony. Mm. You know, no matter how modern society gets, there's only one way to salvation, and that is we need the blood of the Lamb. These people, before Jesus came, they lived, they had salvation the same way, through the blood of the Lamb. The blood that was yet to be spilled in the time of Christ and soon after, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb that was already spilt. And now, you know, even though we live, you know, hundreds and thousands of years later, since the birth, the life, the death, the resurrection of Christ, there's still one way to salvation, and that is the blood of the Lamb. The blood of the Lamb that covered people in the past is the same blood that covers us today. Mm-hmm. And upon this blood, our testimony must be based. Mm-hmm. We have so many different things, as Jonathan just said very eloquently, so many things depend upon access. Nothing is going to ever beat the blood of the Lamb.
That's right.
That's right. Amen. If you don't stand for something, you stand for nothing. And in our modern day, we're all being persecuted for something. We're going to be persecuted for that which is true, for that which is right. And according to Scripture, it's to find the remnant people who are those who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus, and to stand for and be willing persecuted for the Lord Jesus. That's my prayer. I don't know if I can sustain it by my own strength, but I know in God's strength and with the blood of Jesus, that is totally possible. And I know that's the prayer of my friends here. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next week as we continue studying the aspects, all the different attributes of this cosmic war between good and evil. God bless you guys.